Number 16, let's begin there. The Bible says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? And then notice verse 17. The Bible says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. And so tonight I want us to think honestly in our hearts about what highway we are traveling on tonight. And really, the highway, the King's highway, is the highway of wisdom. That's the King's highway. The devil's highway is the highway of the world. Or here in verse number 16, he speaks about wealth. Now, wealth isn't bad. If my heart, that's all it desires is wealth, then that is bad. And so we have the contrast, either the highway of wisdom, the King's highway, or the highway of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, the funny thing about these highways that we are traveling is that some of these highways, or one of these highways, seems easier to travel. But its destination is filled with loss, heartache, misery, and utter despair. There's another highway that sometimes appears less appealing to travel. Now, by the way, tonight, as we've been going through these books with these teenagers, to stay on the King's highway and to stay in the castle many times is less appealing to a teenager than going into the village. That's the point of the very first book in the series. This young lady who had grown up in the king's castle and the king loved her with all of his heart, had given her everything that she could ever desire. And at night, she's listening out the window and she hears the sounds from the village. And her heart begins to be pulled to the village and she meets a young man from the village. And the young man tells her, really he deceives her, about what goes on in the village, and it seems very appealing to her. And one night she sneaks out, unbeknownst to her father, the king. And he tells her, he says, look, this castle has never been a prison. You make your own choices. And one night she heads out to the village, and then she begins to go more nights and more nights until she ends up marrying this young man from the village. It turns out this young man is a drunk. It turns out, and at the end of that very first book, she's been married to this man for a year. She's expecting a child now, but she's living with a man who's a drunk, who mistreats her, who doesn't take care of her because he spends all of his money on alcohol. And she's out in front of her home one day, down in the village, this little house that she has in the village. And she's out sweeping the porch off and she looks up at the castle because she can see it. She can see where she used to live. There's a young man on a white stallion that rides up to the door of the castle. The king comes out, talks to the young man. This was to be the young man that she was to marry. And the king points down to the village and the young man turns and looks to where she lives now. And she sees him and he sees her. And she begins to weep. Because she knows that's the man I should have had instead of the man that I have. Because the truth is tonight, the highway that we are on determines our destination. And by the way, I'm not talking about salvation tonight. Our salvation is settled at the moment that we place our faith and trust in Christ. But we make decisions every day. By the way, whether as a Christian or whether as a believer or as an unbeliever, we make decisions every day. And those decisions, and I tell our teenagers this all the time, decisions determine direction, and direction determines destination. Decisions determine direction. Direction determines destination. Decisions I will make tomorrow when I get out of bed will determine the direction that my day goes, and that direction will determine my destination. We know that just in the physical realm. This morning, I got up and I had intentions to go to Jackson, to go to the hospital, and I went. Okay, if I'm going to go to the hospital in Jackson, I left my home this morning and I went down Fork of Deer Road, went east on Fork of Deer Road, came to, 88? Came to 88, went through Murray City, went through, got on 412, went through Bells, and my destination ended up at the hospital. And it did because I made the right decision. That decision determined my direction. By the way, I walked into a little store in Murray City, and there's Brother Gene having breakfast with all of his buddies this morning. Y'all do that every morning, don't you? Just about. Probably talking about politics and everything else, right? Amongst everything else. Decisions determine direction. Direction determines destination. And I want to look at that tonight. I want to speak to us about the King's Highway and give us three thoughts and three truths from Proverbs 16 tonight. And hopefully it'll be a help to us. Now, I understand tonight that this world can be very appealing. We should never lie to our teenagers. Ever. Ever. Sin is pleasurable. But only for a season. They need to know that. Yes, sin is pleasurable. It looks pleasurable. It feels pleasurable. Sin is pleasurable. But hey, if you want to engage in that, if you want to embark upon that, you better be ready for the consequences. Because it's only pleasurable for a season. Decisions determine direction. Direction determines destination. And in the book of Proverbs, Solomon teaches us and proclaims to us, look, we can make a decision toward wisdom and toward God's Word, or we can make a decision to reject God's Word, which that's what the fool does. In the book of Proverbs, you have the wise, you have the foolish, and you have the simple. The wise are those who receive God's Word. The foolish are those who reject. The simple are those who still need to learn some of God's Word. But the wise individual is the one who will receive it. And the one who will receive it, and receive it, and receive it, even when it may feel like it hurts sometimes. But the fool just rejects, and rejects, and rejects. Decisions determine direction. Direction determines destination. You are no different than I am. I want our young people. By the way, I want all of us to. It's not just about the young people. But I do want our young people to make right decisions so that they'll be on the right highway, headed in the right direction, so that their destination will be right. Now, it may not be appealing up front for those young people to make those right decisions, because most everybody else that they know are not making those decisions. They're making different decisions. And so for them to step out and to make decisions based upon God's Word, that's tough for them sometimes. But we must help them to understand the destination is best. The destination is better than where many of your friends may end up. So let's look at this tonight. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help as we look at the King's Highway tonight. Father, help us and teach us. Father, I'm probably not going to give these individuals anything they haven't heard before, but Lord, I do pray that it be a reminder, a help even to us tonight. Even as adults, Father, our decisions determine our directions, and our direction determines our destination. And so, Father, please remind us of that tonight. May Your Word very clearly, Father, without any ambiguity, remind us very clearly that our decisions matter. Our decisions do not just affect us. Most of the time, many individuals in here tonight, the decisions they make, they carry many people with them when they make those decisions. Children, a spouse, friends, church family, whatever the case might be. And so, Father, I pray that You would teach us and remind us tonight. Challenge us. Convict us. Encourage us. Father, whatever needs are present here tonight, I pray that You'd meet every one. Father, I do pray once again, as Brother Benny already mentioned, Father, please help our kids, our teenagers next door. Father, may this be one more opportunity to have the Word of God placed into their hearts tonight. Father, help us in these next few moments. We commit it to You, and we ask that You bless in a special way, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Number one tonight, I want us to see the heart, first of all, the heart of the traveler. This is the decision stage. The heart of the traveler. This is where decisions are made, and it's based upon the heart of the traveler. Take your Bibles and go back with me, if you would. We're just going to walk through just a little bit here in the book of Proverbs. So go back to Proverbs chapter number 2. And here's the truth tonight. Two hearts tonight. We either have a heart that is set on wisdom or heart that is set on the world. Or I use the word wealth, and I'm hesitant to use that because wealth isn't bad. It's not sin. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money itself. But the Bible does say in verse number 16 of Proverbs 16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? So the idea here in Proverbs 16:16 is that you have individuals, they're either going for wisdom or they're going for wealth. They're either searching God's Word for wisdom or they're searching this world for gold. And so that's the idea there. But we have two hearts. We have the heart that is set on wisdom or the heart that is set on this world. That's the decision. And so we see the heart of the traveler. This is the stage where the decisions are made. Look what the Bible says, especially here. We're not even going to look at probably even half of the references in the book of Proverbs about the heart. But notice what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 2. He says, so. Now that so references back to verse 1. He says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, so that you can hear it, so that you can listen to it, so that you can bend your ear toward wisdom. And then notice this, and apply thine what? Thine heart to understanding. Drop down to verse number 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, notice what happens. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. When wisdom enters our heart, we have discretion, we have discernment, and that discretion preserves us, the Bible says. Chapter number 3 and verse number 1, he says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with what? With all thine what? All thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He'll do what? Talking about decision determines direction. And He'll do what? He shall direct thy paths. By the way, don't we want God to direct our paths? Not us. We mess it up, don't we? When we try to direct our own paths. When we make the decision. Instead of allowing God to make the decision. Look at chapter 4. Chapter number 4 and verse number 4. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and do what? And live. Verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Then we have the verse that probably many of us know tonight, verse 23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? Why is it important that I keep my heart with all diligence, that I watch over it, that I guard it? Why? Because out of it, out of the heart, are the issues of life. So he says, keep it with all diligence. Chapter number 5, verse number 12. And say, how have I hate? Notice this, we've had all good so far. It's talking about the heart receiving the Word, applying it to our hearts, writing it upon the table of our hearts. Now, in chapter 5, we get a negative one. Chapter 5 and verse number 12, he says, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed, verse 13, the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. By the way, verse 11, it says, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. When does that happen? When my heart despises reproof. Chapter number 6, verse number 12. A naughty person, here's another negative. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward. By the way, that word froward, it's the idea of habitual disobedience. With a obstinate contrary. With a froward mouth, he winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is where? In his what? In his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore, verse 15, shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. By the way, we have it all right here. Decisions determine direction. Direction determines destination. What's his destination? Calamity. The Bible says in verse 15, suddenly shall he be broken. And it says without remedy. That's the destination. A little bit further, chapter 6, verse 21. Again, he says, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Verse 25, lust not after her beauty in thine what? In thine heart. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Again, now this is, let me take a little time out here. This is, let me give us a side note. Again, so many people talk about the law and grace. If you read Matthew chapter 5, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ always elevates it. He said, have you not heard? You shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you, you know what grace does? Grace kicks it up a notch. Grace has greater expectation. Jesus Christ said, you've heard it said that thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that if a man look upon a woman to do what? Lust after her in his heart, he hath committed adultery with her already. And the Bible says here in verse number 25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Chapter 7 and verse number 3. Bind them upon thine fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of what? Subtle of heart. Verse 25, let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. Go over just a couple more chapters. Chapter number 10 and verse number 8. The Bible says, the wise in heart will do what? Will receive. The wise in heart. We're talking about the heart of the traveler. This is the decision stage. The heart of the traveler. His heart is either set on wisdom or his heart is set on this world. He either makes decisions based upon the wisdom of God's Word or he makes decisions based upon the world, based upon his flesh, based upon foolishness because he rejects God's Word. And the Bible says here in chapter 10, verse number 8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Chapter 10 and verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Chapter 14 and verse 14. The backslider in what? In heart shall be filled with his, notice this, not with God's word, not with the king's highway, not with God's ways, but the backslider in heart will be filled with what? His own ways. He makes his own decisions. He doesn't consult God's word. He doesn't consult the Lord. He doesn't consult the Holy Spirit. He doesn't let the scriptures and the Spirit in tandem working together lead him and guide him. No, the Bible says here, he is filled with his own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Verse number 33. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. And we could go on and on and on. But number one, we see the heart of the traveler. That is the decision stage. It's either a heart that is bent toward wisdom or it's a heart that is set, bent toward this world. Number two. Number one, we have the heart. Number two, we have the highway. We have the heart of the traveler. Number two, we have the highway of the traveler. This is the direction. The heart, that's the decision. Decisions determine direction. Direction determines destination. The highway of the traveler. Look at chapter 16 again. Chapter number 16. First of all, we have the highway of virtue, or we have the highway of vice. Verse number 17 says this, the highway of, we already read it, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. So the highway of virtue, the highway of the upright, if you will, is to depart from evil. So we either have the highway of virtue or the highway of vice. We have the highway of evil, if you will. And by the way, that's all determined by the decisions that we make. Hey, now let me say this. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God allows U-turns? Aren't you thankful for that? In our last book, it was really geared toward that thought of... I'm trying to think of the name. Of prodigals. Prodigals coming back. And I'm thankful that God allows U-turns. And the author, he said, I hesitated writing this book. He said, because I do not want teenagers to think that it's okay to spend a little time off of the King's Highway. And that you can automatically come back. Because he said this, he said, not all of them come back. They don't all come back. Now we can, and I'm thankful that we can. And I told our teenagers, but look at this. I'm thankful God gives U-turns, but think about this. If this morning, if I wanted to go to the hospital in Jackson, and I had gone out because I could go 412, which is the way I went this morning, or I could go to Brownsville and hit Interstate 40 and go to Jackson, I could go that way too. What if when I got in Brownsville, instead of going east, I went west? Where would I end up? Okay, I would end up in Memphis. That's easy. Now, could I get off of 40 and get back on and head east? Absolutely. But how much time did I lose? And see, that's it. I'm grateful. God is merciful. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. And probably all of us could give testimony to the U-turns that He's allowed in our own lives. Of getting right with Him, of confessing and repenting and getting things right. But how much time did we lose? How much further out of the way did we go and we didn't have to go out of the way? See, that's the key. Decisions determine direction. Direction determines destination. We can make a U-turn and head back in the right direction. But God help us that we don't lose time. And God help us that we're not 100 miles out of the way and we've got to turn back around and get back headed in the right direction. That's the key. It's not that, well, you know, we get on the wrong direction, we're never going to get right. No, we can get right. But it's better if we never get going on the wrong direction to begin with. Josh was taking a test, I believe it was yesterday, and he missed a few. And I told him, I said, well, you won't miss those on the test. He missed them on a quiz. And I told him, I said, you won't miss those on the test. And he says, yeah, you learn from your mistakes. I said, but it's better to learn without having made the mistakes. People make a foolish comment. They have foolish thinking when they say, you know what, we need to let our young people make mistakes because they learn from those mistakes. That's true. They can learn from those mistakes. But how about we just help them to learn and help them not to make the mistake to begin with? That's the better agenda to have instead of, well, they're going to sow their wild oats, they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to learn from those mistakes. How about we teach them the truth and they never make those mistakes? That would be even better. Decisions determine direction. Direction determines destination. So we have the highway of virtue or the highway of vice. Secondly, we have the highway of humility or the highway of haughtiness. Verses 18 and 19. The highway of humility or the highway of haughtiness. The Bible says, pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. The highway of humility or the highway of haughtiness. Listen, you could spend a lot of time here in our day and time talking about pride and humility, talking about pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But let me say this tonight. We can get haughty in our own spirits when we look at the world and think, oh my goodness, I would never be a part of that. I would never be a part of the pride movement. It's getting ready to come up in June. June is Pride Month. Are you ready for that? I'm not. Pride exalted himself above God. But here's the truth. As believers, we can get puffed up in our own spirit and say, well, I'm not like them. Because that's good. You shouldn't be. But don't let that allow yourself to get puffed up and prideful. Because the Bible says that pride goeth before what? Before destruction. So we have the highway of humility or the highway of haughtiness. Thirdly, we have the highway of trust or the highway, and I use this word, trepidation, not trust. We have the highway of trust or the highway of trepidation. Verse number 20, the Bible says, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And notice this, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, what's the next word? Happy! Happy is he. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The highway of the traveler. This is the direction. The decision determines the direction. What highway are you on tonight? Are you on the highway of trust? Or are you on the highway of trepidation? Lord, I don't know if I can trust you on this one. Lord, I don't know about this financial situation. I don't know about this physical situation. Lord, I don't know about this situation in my family. I don't know if I can trust you on this one. Listen, if we can trust God with the salvation of our souls, we can trust Him with anything else. If we can trust Him to wash away our sins and to cleanse us and to transform us, to quicken us, Ephesians 2 says. Make alive. If we can trust Him for that, that's the hard stuff. And hard for Him, not us. Can't we trust Him for daily needs? He tells us that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The highway of trust or the highway of trepidation. Number four, the highway of sweet or the highway of sour. Would you look at verse 21? The wise in heart shall be called prudent. And the, what's the word there? Sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's your sour. There's your destruction. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise forward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. And by the way, the first couple of verses there, the first five, really it's broken down, five and five almost. The first five, he's talking about sweet, pleasant. And then the last five, he's talking about sowing strife and sowing discord. By the way, he's primarily talking about the tongue. Sowing strife and sowing discord. A burning fire in verse number 27. Verse 28, a man who soweth strife, a whisperer separated, chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the what? The way that is not good. The highway of the traveler. The highway of sweet or the highway of sour. And then lastly, verses 31 and 32, the highway of commitment or the highway of compromise. Notice verse number 32. The Bible says, verse 31 first. The Bible says, the hoary head is a crown of glory. What's the hoary head? We know. Say it again. Okay, the white hair, the gray-headed, the elderly. The Bible says the hoary head is a crown of glory. And then what's the next word? if it be found in the way of what? Righteousness. Hey, there's no glory in the hoary head for a man who has lived his life for the devil. But the Bible says the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. If it be found in the aged man, the aged lady who has lived a life committed to God Almighty and His Word. So you have the highway of commitment or the highway of compromise. Verse 32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." The highway of the traveler, direction, the heart of the traveler, decision. What highway are you on tonight? Are your decisions based upon the Word, based upon wisdom? Or are our decisions tonight based upon self, based upon our own ways, based upon what the world says is correct? Because different decisions have different directions. And different directions have different destinations. By the way, I am not saying tonight that if I make decisions based upon God's Word, that highway is going to be easy. Many times that highway is harder than the other one. But the end is better. Your destination is better. Yeah, the highway may be a little bit harder, but the destination is better. By the way, some of the most beautiful destinations that you go to, it's hard to get to them, isn't it? Yeah. Decisions determine direction. Direction determines destination. So you have the heart, that's the decision. You have the highway, that's the direction. What direction are you on tonight? Verses 16 through the end of the chapter give us a contrast of directions. Give us a contrast of the wise and the fool. And then thirdly, we see the happiness or the heartache of the traveler. The happiness or the heartache of the traveler. That's the destination. The happiness or the heartache. We read it in verse... I'm looking at the wrong page. Which verse am I looking for? Verse 20. "And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." We're not going to go back and read all of verses 16 through 32 again. But go back and read it. And look at the contrast of the individual who receives the Word, makes decisions based upon the Word, is traveling the path of the Word, or those individuals who are traveling the path of the world, the flesh, and the devil, of foolishness, who are rejecting God's Word. Who their tongues are full of evil. They sow discord because their tongues are not full of wisdom. Decisions. Can I say it again? Determine direction. Direction determines destination. The heart, the highway, and then either happiness or heartache. The heart determines the highway that I'm on, and that highway determines happiness or heartache. So in your Christian life tonight, what highway are you on? Are you on the highway that's going to lead to happiness? Biblical happiness? Or are you on the highway that's going to lead to heartache? I'm on the highway. I'm making a lot of money. That's going to lead to nothing but happiness. Did you see verse 16? How much better is it to get wisdom? How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? How much better is it, the Bible says? Listen, parents, and even good Christian parents who have good intentions, They give so much time and money for their children to have education and education and education. And that's good because they want them to have money when they grow up. And so we're going to send them to the best school. We're going to make sure that they have the best educations. We want them to have a great job. We want them to be comfortable one day. That isn't in the Bible. You know what's killing Christianity in America? The American dream. Pastor, you against people having money? No. The Bible doesn't teach that. But the Bible does teach that the love of money is the root of all evil. And in many cases, that's what we teach our children. We teach them to love it. Not to use it to provide. Not to use it to give. Not to use it to leave for our grandchildren, as the Bible says. But we teach them to love it. And crave it. And get the next dollar and the next and the next and the next. And that decision determines a direction that determines a destination of either heartache or happiness. Heartache or happiness. You say, well, Pastor, $1 million right now would make me really happy. Yeah, maybe temporarily. That's not, by the way, that's not biblical happiness either. It's not joy. Let's use that word. It's not joy. The King's Highway. What highway are you on tonight? The highway of wisdom? The highway of foolishness? The highway of the Word? Or the highway of this world? Because it'll determine the direction that you're headed. And that direction will, determine the destination where you're going to end. By the way, it'll determine many, many times. Your kids, one of these days, are going to make their own choices. But the decisions you make right now as mom and dad, you're taking the kids with you. They're traveling with you right now. And so the decisions you make right now are taking them in the same direction you're going. Let's make sure it's a good direction. One of these days, they'll get to make their decisions. They'll have to decide what's in their heart. And they'll have to make their decisions. But right now, you're taking them with you. Don't you want them to end up at a good destination? Don't you want them to end up at a place where when they do get to the decision-making age, they're making decisions based on the Word? They're making decisions based upon God's wisdom and not upon worldly wisdom and not upon the philosophy of this world? The King's Highway. Let's make sure we stay on it. By the way, let's help others to stay on it as well. Amen. Father, thank you for the time you've given us tonight. Father, help our decisions to be right so that our directions will be right, so that we'll end up at the proper destination. A life filled with abundance, you've promised the Christian. You desire for us the abundant Christian life. It's not a life without heartache. It's not a life without trouble, but it's abundant. It's full of peace and joy that nothing this world has to offer could ever give to us. So, Lord, I pray that you've reminded us that, of that tonight. Father, help us as we go to prayer. I pray that you'd hear us, incline your ear toward us, and we'll thank you for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.